Let the way,
let the weight of your glory fall.
Let the weight one more time.
Let the weight,
hallelujah,
of your glory cover us.
Let the light.
The truth
of your kingdom reigns in us. Oh, hallelujah. Let the weight
of your glory.
Hallelujah.
Let the weight of your glory fall.
We worship you, Father, Lord Jesus, and Lord Holy Spirit. We thank you again for inhabiting our praises with your presence. As we go into your word, we humble ourselves afresh. This same unction and anointing will go with us as we go into the word and increase. Let me speak as I should, indeed, as an oracle of God. Put the same unction that's on my heart and my lips upon the ears and the hearts of the hearers, so the word, your word, will flow freely from you through me to the people, to do an internal and eternal work in each of our hearts, including my own. In particular, to cause our wills to become more humble, minds to be more enlightened with revelation knowledge, our emotions to be more tempered and controlled by the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. I further pray as I speak, the power of the Holy Spirit be released in great as well as in sufficient measure. Power that will heal, power that will deliver, power that will break yokes, power that will free men so that they will become doers of the things they hear and are hearers only. Further pray for mercy to be faithful, to deliver the word with precision, redeem the time, and say only what you want me to say. Bring now the treasure of this word, things new and old, indeed as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. And all those in agreement with me, receiving every blessing mentioned in that prayer in their individual lives, all individually agreed and said, you may be seated. I have a instructional prophetic message for us today. It is entitled Zoe, Dunamis, and Glory. Last week, I spoke about the imminent restoration of the purity and the power of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. By the grace of God, but the grace of God which is with me, said that there, in the last 50 years or so, there's really been a withdrawal of the gifts of the Spirit. The word is not complete withdrawal. There's just been a diminishing in the purity as well as in the power of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And I pointed out that the reason for this is twofold. The first reason was because people blatantly disobeyed the injunction of Scripture that the gifts of the Spirit are manifest as the Spirit wills. And many people just try and, you know, in fact, I see them all the time on YouTube and all of that. And say, you know, I just, you know, prophesy to you. You can't do that. It's as the Spirit wills. And that is why you find that the most abused gifts in the church is prophecy. Because we can speak, you know, but you don't speak just and say, thus saith the Lord, unless there is an unction. I don't know how best I can describe it. I have experienced it. I still experience it. It's like having a cloak. You know, if somebody stands behind you with a cloth, with a, you know, like a jacket, a big jacket, even though you can't see them, you can sense their presence. And if they move back, you can sense it, that it's not there again. That's what the unction is like. When I got baptized in the Holy Spirit in November of 1979, I had a glorious experience. I spoke in tongues. I spoke in Hebrew and Aramaic. I didn't even know it was. But something very wonderful happened. I think it lasted about 3 or 4 days. It was as if I was going around with a cloak. It was as if somebody was behind me. I sensed it. I'll be walking down the corridors in Imperial College. It will be there, you know. After some time, it waned, you know. Another thing that would happen was my hands and my toe, you know, my feet. You know, it would be like as if there's a burning coal there. You actually, I'll talk more about that later on. You know, you feel. It's not a perception. You feel it. You know, it's like electricity that's flowing inside your hands and inside your feet. Then I got to understand what the anointing was. So you only prophesy or should only prophesy when that unction is there. If it's not there, don't. And usually, because I have operated, I yet not I, but the grace of God is with me, you know, I've operated the gift of diversities of tongues, interpretation of tongues and prophecy. I did that initially with Pastor and Mrs. Porter in that little church in London. So I was introduced to the real thing, you know, and what usually happens is that the unction will come. You feel, you know, you sense that unction. Then you will get the first few words. You won't get everything. You just have like one or two words and you will know this direction. You open your mouth and it's like a tap. Once you start, the words start tumbling out of your mouth, you know, and you will know it's not you because it will go beyond what you think or what you say. And I also experienced this even here in preaching and teaching. A lot of the times, 90% of the time, I teach prophetically under unction. And sometimes it'll just start coming. Even things that are not in my notes, it will just start flowing. And I know it's the spirit of prophecy. The second reason why the gifts, the purity and the gift power of the gifts of the Spirit dramatically reduced was because of covetousness. People started using the gifts for money. And this grieved the Holy Spirit. And he, you know, he didn't withdraw it completely. The gifts of the Spirit are still in operation in the church. But majority of what we see today, there is a very low level. In fact, one prophecy, I might be teaching on that later on, maybe later in the year. Like I told you at the beginning of this year, something wonderful happened to me late last year, you know, November, December. God downloaded to me so many messages. I have enough that will take for the next 6 months, if not 9, you know, and I'll be bringing them as, this is one of them, you know, I'll be bringing them as the Holy Spirit directs me, you know, to share them. And so the unction of the Holy Spirit will come and he will speak, you know, through you. And this issue of money, you know, has caused the manifestations we see today, even when they are genuine, they are very low quality and purity, you know. And sometimes they're not even, you know, sometimes they're counterfeit or corrupted, you know. So God wants to restore. And I shared with us last week that the key, the road to restoration is love. He said, I will show you, talking about the gifts of the Spirit in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. He said, desire then the best gifts. He said, and I will show you a more excellent way. Then he begins to talk about love in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And so today, I'm going to be talking about the mechanics of the glory of God. I'm talking about Zoe, which is the life of God. I use the Greek
the act, you know, it's translated in the King James Bible as life, eternal life, everlasting life. The original Greek word is zoe. Then there's a Greek word which is called dunamis. Dunamis is power. That's where we get the English word dynamics. Dynamo. Dynamite. All those English words are derived from the Greek word dunamis. It means miraculous working power. And then glory. And there is a functionality by which one metamorphosizes into the other. In other words, the original substance is Zoe. And when you work with Zoe, you can convert it to dunamis. And when you work with dunamis, you can convert it to glory. And it's important that I share that because there's a lack of terrible dearth of understanding concerning these things in the church for the reasons I have mentioned. You know, disobedience to instruction, trying to do things as man wills and not as the Holy Spirit wills. And you find, I mentioned this last week from Matthew chapter 7, where Jesus said, not everyone that says, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. That doesn't just mean going to heaven. It also includes, and probably that's what he was referring to primarily, you know, entering the experience of the total dominion of righteousness, peace, and joy. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. So when the Bible says entering the kingdom, he's not talking about going to heaven. He told the disciples in Acts chapter 14, he said, he encouraged them that they should, you know, through much tribulation, enter the kingdom. They were already in the kingdom. They were already born again. So he's not talking about being born again. Not talking about going to heaven. He's talking about the experience of the dominion, total dominion of righteousness, peace, and joy by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's why he qualified it. And he said, in the Holy Ghost. Because, you may not know this, but I will tell you now, you can have a righteousness that's not in the Holy Ghost. That's like filthy rags, righteousness of the flesh. You can have a peace that is not in the Holy Ghost. The Bible says in Jeremiah, it says they say peace, peace when there is no peace. You know, you can have a joy that is not in the Holy Ghost. The Bible says, you know, that the wicked, you know, they are full of joy when they do certain things. You know, there's a lot of fake that's around. There is the one in the Holy Ghost, then there's the one that's flesh, you know, where it's just man's natural emotions and feelings, and it's not in the Holy Ghost. And that's why we must develop these ones in the Holy Ghost. And Jesus said, not everyone that says, you know, Lord, Lord, will enter this experience. He says, for many will say to me in that day, and that day is this day. He's talking about this third day, the third day from the birth of Christ. And I'm going to be showing you something today. There's a third day from the maturity of Christ. There's a third day from the resurrection of Christ. And, you know, it's when I was preparing this yesterday, you know, God showed me, said, you're going to see different things, you know, manifest as you enter different levels of this third day. There are three levels of the third day. I would say third day from the birth of Christ. That's 995. Say third day from the maturity of Christ. That's 2025. Then say third day from the resurrection of Christ. That's 2028. Because Jesus was raised from the dead 3 years after his maturity. And, you know, we didn't understand, you know, revelation is progressive and it's continuous. We didn't know, I didn't know all of this myself. I knew third day. I knew third day from the birth of Christ, but I did not know third day from the maturity and all of that. And that's why we haven't seen some things we thought we should have seen. And some of these things I'm going to share with you will show you what I call the mechanics, the things that have to begin to be practiced for these things to be experienced. And that's why I chose that first song, It's Raining, from David Ingalls. I told Pastor Andrew when Lagos is there. But the second song, they chose it, you know, by themselves, you know, and really it is raining. As I speak now, every time you come to Good Morning Jesus in the morning, it's raining. Oh, get into the rain. Oh. And I'm going to show you how. It's raining. It's every day now. And it's the intensity of the rain is increasing. But you have to understand what's happening. So let's start. First of all, what is Zoe? Zoe is the life of God. Everybody go to John chapter 5. John chapter 5 and verse 26. All you find all of these in all our books. These are things I taught in the late 80s, you know, when we started Scripture Pastor 84, 85, 86. You know, this was the main thrust of my teaching. I was teaching on the life of God and life scriptures. And those things are still so important. He says, for as the Father, I didn't hear you. I did not hear you. I'm only hearing the people here. I'm not hearing the choir. I'm not hearing you. 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 For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given. Everyone say, so hath he given. Say, so has he given. Say, so has he given. To the Son to have life in himself. Stop. This is a textbook biblical definition of the life of God. What is the life of God? It's what God has in himself. It's the intrinsic nature of God. That's what it is. As has life in himself. I wrote it down because as I was preparing this message, the unction came over me. So I was writing down what I was receiving. So I would say it the way I got it. Zoe is eternal and intrinsic in the three persons of the Godhead. Zoe is not created. It's what is inside God. It is the thing that makes God, God. Just like blood flows in the physical human body, the substance that flows inside God is spiritual, but it is a substance. It's a tangible substance. You know, and the Bible uses this expression for it to make us relate to it in the physical. It calls it living water. It is intrinsic. It is inside God. It is what makes God, God. Every other thing God has comes from Zoe. And there are three of them that I will focus on, that I will mention. Number one, God has wisdom. It's from Zoe. Because inside Zoe is light. Light is wisdom and development. The Bible talks about the light of life. It is not the life of light. It is the light of life. In other words, it is life. It is from life light emanates. These are crucial, fundamental truths that many of us are ignorant of or have lost sight of or we've let to slip. The second aspect that comes from this life of God is love. It is the love of life. It comes from the life of God and it's manifested in what we call the fruit of the Spirit. Joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, self-control, and patience. All those things are ingredients intrinsic inside Zoe, inside the life of God. The third thing is power, which is this dunamis. The creative ability of God, that God used to make the heavens and the earth and create everything, you know, and he uses to heal the sick and all of that, is actually Zoe that has been transformed to dunamis. You need to understand that. Most Christians don't. But by the time we finish this message, you will understand better. Now, there is a great truth in this John chapter 5, verse 26. He said, as the Father hath life in himself, notice nobody gave the Father life. He says, it was in him. But when he now spoke about the Son, because when Jesus came to the earth and took on the human form, he was temporarily stripped of his divine attributes. So he now had to be given Zoe from the Father and the Holy Spirit. That's why he said, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself. That's why Jesus had to pray. Jesus prayed every day.
Why? Because he had to receive life. When God taught me life scriptures, and he taught me, I yet not I, but the grace and mercy of God, you know, later on I got to, you know, I had, of course I had heard about it from E.W. Kenyon and Kenneth Hagin, but, you know, this practice of using scriptures to draw life and pray for the life of God was something I, you know, I'd never heard of. It was God who taught me. I don't want to go into the testimony and all that. I've shared it many times. It was 1983, you know, through healing. I started with healing scriptures. Then, in order to get healed better, you know, faster, I prayed and I didn't get healed. And God said, go and look up every scripture of life. I prayed from those scriptures and I got healed. So anyway, you know, then he led me to Psalm 119. You find a lot of the life scriptures are in Psalm 119. And you know what he told me? He said they are messianic psalms. And he said Jesus prayed from them. And he did. That's why you find, you know, Jesus, you know, you find many of those scriptures in Psalm 19. Quicken me. The King James says quicken, but the actual Hebrew is give life to me. You know, so my soul will not drop for heaviness. You know, give life to me and turn away my eyes from beholding vanity. Jesus prayed those prayers. That was how Jesus was getting life every day. As the Father has life intrinsic, so has he given. He gave life to Jesus. And the Lord Jesus understood these things, certainly. You know, and that's why he was very careful. Jesus was not careless at all. You will notice that anytime he does a lot of work, like when he fed the 5,000, that took a lot of power, you know, to feed. It was creative. It was dunamis in action. Because what he did, he took 5 loaves of bread, two fishes. He looked up to heaven. He prayed. And then he started giving it. As he was giving it to the disciples, the thing was multiplying. Oh, man, I like to see that, honey. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. You know, if they don't come for the word, they will come for the bread. Imagine if they say, there's a scripture pastor, if you go there, praise the Lord. You know, you know, it's better than the, you know, agege bread that you buy. Seriously speaking, you know, great power. Immediately he sent everybody away. And what did he go do? He went to pray. Because power had been expended. So he had to go back and replenish. And he did that all the time. You know, his disciples, after walking with him for some time, they noticed something. This man is always praying. They said he was in a certain place and he was praying. And the Bible says when he ceased, that is, Jesus had times of concentrated prayer. My pastors know, you know, Pastor Andrew, all those who are close to me, you know, who work with me, you know, I think it was yesterday, you know, I don't know whether it was Pastor Andrew or Laolo or somebody, you know, came to my room, or David, you know, I was praying. I said, I didn't let them talk. I did like this. Then I finished my prayer. Then I said, then I started talking. That's what Jesus did that day. He said, when he ceased, his disciples noticed that thing. So they said to him, Lord, teach us to pray. When you understand the dynamics and the principles of this thing, you will now understand why you have to pray. As a man, Jesus did not have Zoe intrinsic. He had it as God. But when he became a man, that's why Paul wrote that beautiful expose on the incarnation. He said, who thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but took upon himself the form of a servant, and being found in fashion as a man. He was dependent on the mercy and the grace of the other two persons of the Godhead. He had it, but he had given it up so that he could become a man to procure our salvation. So he was dependent on God like you and I are dependent on God. He had to pray just like you and I. No wonder, you know, he will get up early in the morning, a great while before today. He takes time to pray from life scriptures. Ask me. When I first started, it used to take me 1 hour.
Thank God for that time. There was no SPC app for me to go to. Hello. Amen. There was no Good Morning Jesus. I was the Good Morning Jesus. That was 1983, you know, 84, you know, 82, 83. I would get up early because I was teaching in this school in Kutai. I had to take a bus, you know, a series of buses. And if you miss one, you missed it. So, you know, I would get up 4 o'clock. Then I would start live scriptures. I'll pray. I'll draw life. I have to do that first before I pray in tongues. The life of God is the fuel for praying in the Spirit. That's the reason why a lot of our tongues is not effective. That's the reason why most of us cannot pray in tongues for more than 10, 15 minutes. Nico Shirole, the next thing, be thinking, look at the cockroach. Pastor Luke will say, oh, in Jesus' name, I just got all your numbers. You know why I don't condemn you and why I understand? I used to do it myself. I'm being honest. Ah, I would be doing live scripture, then I would just fall asleep. Then the Holy Ghost would say, God, I'm sorry. Okay, let's start. You know, then I'll, you know, it used to take me 1 hour. Then with time, as I grew in capacity and understanding and wisdom, I started doing 15 minutes, you know. So, life of God is so crucial. And you get it, you know, through these. It's not only the messianic ones in Psalm 119. You know, it's all over the Bible. And Peter describes it in 2 Peter chapter 1 in verse 4. You know, Peter was one of Jesus' closest disciples. John was the closest. But Peter was in the inner circle too. They learned those things from Jesus. What do you think Jesus was teaching them those 40 days? He taught them all these things. That's why Peter could write 2 Peter. Chapter 1, he said, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, you know, who has called us to glory and virtue. That's what I'm going to talk about. He didn't just call you. This is good stuff. You know, he called you to glory. I remember to talk to your neighbor and say, I'm called to glory. In Psalm 84, you know what it says? He says, the Lord is a sun and a shield, and he will give grace and glory. Grace, get born again. Then glory when you mature. He's not only going to give you grace. He gives you that to start with. Then if you stay with it, he will give you glory. Say, Pastor Lubi, how did you say that? By the light of life. You've read the same scripture, but you didn't see it. You know why I saw it? Because I have more life. Not because I'm not better than you. But I, yet not I, but the grace of God, which is, because I have a greater volume of life that is going into my soul. So my understanding is enlightened. So when I saw that scripture, I saw what you didn't see. And there are many scriptures like that. Are you listening to me? This thing, you can't, let's give E.W. Kenyon a super clap of it. You see that man, eh? He has not been honored in the church the way he should. I'm trusting God that when the glory comes, some of us will showcase and honor that man. The church, anyway, it doesn't really matter as long as God honors him. The church doesn't, they don't know. That man gave us a lot of, he was a pioneer. He has a whole book, which is called The Two Kinds of Life. He called it The Biological Miracle of the Age. It was when I read that book, I understood why the Europeans and the European race had the advantage over the other race. They are not better. They just had more exposure to Zoe. So they had greater, you know, and go and check it. It was after the Reformation, not before. After there was the Renaissance, the 1200 and something with Galileo and all of that, they got a little bit of light, but not too much. But immediately after the Reformation, which was 1517, the next 100 years, it was a quantum leap. People like Isaac Newton, who were not even born again, but there was light in the air. Because the English kings, by decree, they would speak, they would read the scriptures. They would read from we still do it to today. The collect, the gospel, the this, the that, you know, for the reading. And they filled England with air. The air in England with light. So, guess, watch this. George Friedrich Handel, who is German, did not get Handel's Messiah in Germany. He got it in England. Because of light. All the top scientists, you know, many of them, many of them still don't, are ignorant of it, but they don't understand that it's the light of life. You want to be creative, go to England or America. Stay where you are, you won't see anything. I've seen that over the years. Prof, am I wrong? In all the different fields, some of the top things, the major things come because of life. It's the fulfillment of John 1:4. He says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men, the development of man. It follows this thing of history. And our person we need to give a clap offering to is John Wesley. Oh, what a guy. Oh, hallelujah. Filled England with life. And England became the strongest nation in the world. The Industrial Revolution. And then ruled Britannia. They ruled the waves. Can you imagine that tiny England? The whole of the practically the continent of Africa, China, you know, India, the jewel of the empire. All because of light. They're not better than us. The English aren't better than us. They're not better than the Chinese or the intellectual. We're all the same. We're all creating the image of light. It's light. And it's what's also making a difference in Nigeria. You know, Nigerians are different from the other Africans. Especially my generation. You know, who were born in the 50s and the 60s. I'm being serious. You know, we didn't know what it was. You know, because a lot of people got, especially after the Civil War, a lot of people got born again. Then we started speaking the word of God. We were singing choruses. Honey, you remember? All the way to Calvary. He went for me. He went for me. He went all the way to Calvary. We didn't know what we were doing. We were putting air. That generation is different. Different. Our creativity, our intellect, is because of this life they know. And there's nowhere in the world we have gone, I'm talking about my generation, that we have not excelled. America, England, we go to the top of the class. We have no inferiority complex to anybody. Niger, it's not Niger, it's Jesus. Let's give him a clap offering. It's Jesus. Directly or indirectly. Some of us don't even know it's Jesus. But it's Jesus. It's Jesus. There is no... And look at Western Nigeria, the same story. It's the same story. The reason why Western Nigeria was ahead of all the other regions, you know, educationally and intellectually, was, you know, there is no village you will go to in Yoruba land. You will see Anglican and you will see CAC. And every Sunday, they will open and they will read the scripture. Fill the place with life and light. Oh. Thank you, Jesus. Dunamis is the power derived from Zoe, like electrical, mechanical, and light power can be derived from crude oil and petroleum using generators, car engines, aeroplane engines, all those things. The original source, we call them today fossil fuels, you know, was taken from the earth. Then you refine it. Then you put it inside a generator. It will produce electricity. You put it inside a car. It will produce mechanical energy. You put it inside an aeroplane. The aeroplane would fly. But the energy, the original energy, is from the crude oil. Similarly, the original energy is from the life of God. Now, in the spiritual case now, the energy is your, the generator is your spirit. That's what happens when you pray in tongues. You take Zoe as the basic substance, the crude oil, so to speak, in the spirit. Then when you now begin to pray in tongues and you begin to speak God's word, you're converting that power. You're coming to dunamis. And it will come out as God, power of godliness, power of healing, power of protection, power to get wealth. Have you heard of that one? That's one we like. All of it is power. But the root substance is Zoe. That is why praying in tongues is so important. Some degree of power is generated when you speak in the understanding from the same Zoe that's inside your spirit. But when you pray in tongues, you take it at a higher level. Then it begins to generate dunamis to be godly. The power of godliness is actually the fruit of the spirit. That's why the fruit of the spirit are not just emotions, nice human emotions. No, they're spiritual forces. Power, raw spiritual power that's coming out from the life of God. Joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, self-control and faith. This power is called the power of godliness. Hence, honey, you know what the Bible says? It says, there are these people who are ever learning and never able to come to knowledge of the truth. It says, they have a form of godliness, but deny the power. You can say it this way. They go to church, they wear the nice clothes, they say all the right things, but they don't have the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is the power of godliness. That's why Jesus didn't say you will know them by their gifts. He said you will know them by their fruit. People who really have this, he said it nicely. I love the way Jesus said it. I am the vine, you are the branches. So the Zoe that is inside the branch is the same Zoe that is inside the vine, is the same Zoe that's inside the branch. He said, you want to test if the guy is connected? Check for the fruit. If the fruit is there, you know he's real. If he's not there, he's not. Say, by their fruit. Because the fruit, the power of godliness is a natural consequence of having the life of God inside you. I love that song Dr. Williams sang, you know, in the What Night Service. I have the life of God in me. I have the life of God in me. I have his life, his nature, and his ability. I have the life of God in me. And abiding in the vine, abiding in the vine. Love, joy, peace, health. He has made the mine. I have prosperity, power, and victory. Abiding in the vine. That sums up Christianity. This is what does it. The life of God. When the life of God is low in volume, see little fruit or no fruit or withered fruit. When it's high, see joy and peace and long suffering. That song we sung, my spirit is overflowing with joy. It's raining. What's it raining? It's raining Zoe. Living water. It's raining life. Now, when the glory is a physical, you see the steps, 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold, it's Zoe. Then from Zoe to dunamis. Now watch this. Glory is a physical manifestation of God's power. Dunamis is God's power. Ordinary, when it's done in physical manifestation, it does things, you know, and all this joy, peace, and long-suffering, you don't see it. But when the power gets to a particular threshold level and crosses it, then the power starts being manifest to the physical senses. So there are three, I'm going to read again. Glory is a physical manifestation of God's power, which normally is spiritual and not manifest to the physical senses. But when the power level, I've used this illustration over the years to teach this, and it's a beautiful one, and it's very correct. The fluorescent tube. If you have a fluorescent tube, you know, and you know the electricity supply, the voltage drops. You know, in Nigeria we use 240 volts. If usually if it drops below 160, 170, the fluorescent will not work. But there's power there. Put your hand there, you will know there's power there. It will shock you. Are you listening to me? However, once the voltage in physics, we call it threshold. It's a threshold voltage. Once you pass that threshold voltage, the lamp will just come on. That's how it is in the spirit. If the power of God reaches a particular level, when it crosses that threshold level, it will manifest. And there are three levels of the glory of God. And that's what we see, you know, when we pray. Let me share them with you. Number one, the tangible glory of God. That's what I spoke about earlier on when I got baptized in the Holy Spirit. And it happens. It happens to me every day. And it happens when I worship. When we do praise and we do it properly. Some days we miss it. But today we got it. Praise the Lord. You know, you can, it's like electricity in the air. When I was going to that church, the Pastor Porter's church in London, I used to experience the same thing. You know, in the Pentecostal church, you just see, you know, usually during praise and worship, you just feel that tangible. You can actually, it is like electricity. You can feel it in your hands. You can feel it in your palms. The tangible glory of God. That's the 30-fold level. Then there's another level, which is the manifest glory of God. That's when you see things like turning water to wine, cleansing lepers, raising the dead. Now, let me give you a timeline. What I was talking about earlier on. This is fresh to me. You know, God said, from the day of Pentecost and restoration, 1906 till today, he says, most of what the church has seen is tangible glory. That we feel the power and the glory of God. And thank God for it. We've seen a little bit of the manifest glory of God. That's what we're waiting for now. From the third day from maturity, not from birth. That's 2025, about 2025. Like I told you, prophetic shadows are not exact dates. You know, and onwards, we're going to start seeing more of the manifest glory of God. We're going to see water turn to wine. We're going to see cleansing of lepers. We're going to see the dead raised. It's going to be, after a while, it will be common. It will not be everybody, but it will be common. I've said this by the Spirit, and I'm going to keep saying it. The hour is coming, and now is, where healing, instant healing of the sick will be as common as tongues is now. You know, tongues is common now, yet it's not everybody who does it. As common as tongues is now, you know, you still have a very relatively small percentage of the church that actually prays effectually and fervently in tongues. As common as it is. Many people speak in tongues, but they don't pray in tongues. They speak a few words. Oh, shaka parakaraba utiton. Petrol has finished. Hello? But then you have people like here, by the grace and the mercy of God, you know, like my wife, you know, one of my friends, Moses and Rosiola, I can never forget, you know, it's one of the reasons why I married her. He said to me, he said, oh, Jege, and pray. That time they were in the village, in the postgraduate hall in UI. Moses said, when he has finished praying and he's going to lecture, he'll say, you see here that girl, he says, you'll be groaning. It's a life of God. Are you following? You know, most Christians don't pray effectually and fervently in tongues for any appreciable amount of time. Most people, 10, 15 minutes. Before you find people who can pray 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, they have to have connection to the life of God. If they don't, they don't. That's what we notice many years ago, over 30 years ago in scripture pasture, you know, when they criticize us for tongues and lie scriptures. I know a lot of people are criticizing, you know. I remember there was one particular guy who's a friend of mine, and we're still friends up till today, you know. He told me this story himself. He said, you know, because they were criticizing, you know, this will be, say, I can pray in tongues 1 hour every day. He said, he's going to do it. So he told his secretary, hold all the calls. Don't let any, he's a big man, you know. Don't let anybody call me and all that. I want to pray. I don't want anybody to disturb me. So he said he sat in his office and said, oh yeah, let's pray in tongues. So he started praying in tongues. He said, after 50 minutes, he was sweating. Then he called me and he said, Oji, Orumoru. In our language, that means the heavens are hot. So, in other words, he was saying, he said, so this is what you are talking about. He said, he said after 15, 20 minutes, it was hard slogging. It's hard slogging to pray in tongues effectually and fervently for an hour, 2-3 hours. You need life scriptures. You need more and more measures of the life of God. Otherwise, you can't do it. Except occasionally by the sovereign grace of God, when the sovereign God gives to you. And that's why they don't do it as a habit. They will do it once and then they'll talk about it for the next 10 years. About what the day the Holy Ghost came upon me and I had a great burden and I pray in spirit, but you know, you don't do it. But I'm teaching you now how to do it properly, consistently. Are you listening to me? Am I helping anybody here? Who's still on my side? Give the Lord a wave offering. Then give give me a wave offering and give the Lord a clap offering. Amen. Okay. So the second level is this manifest glory where we see the dunamis now manifests in the physical. The power level is such that it's so high, it can manifest. Heal the sick. That's what Jesus told his disciples to do. He said, he gave them life and dunamis at a high level by laying hands on them. The 12, and then later on the 70. Then he said, go. He said, heal the sick. Cleanse the lepers. Raise the dead. Cast out devils. And they did. The Bible said they went all over Israel and they did. He said, even the devils are subject to us through thy name. Hallelujah. Are you listening to me? And that is what we must get now. That's the essence of this message. Before I close. The third level is the visible glory. There's the manifest glory. This is what Pastor Andrew and we're all singing about in David Ingalls' song. Shekinah. That's the one that was in the Holy of Holies. The Holy of Holies had no light, no natural light. But it was as bright as the, brighter than the noonday sun. Because that was where the glory of God was. The Shekinah glory. So that is the Shekinah glory. That's the visible glory. And the Lord was showing me, he said, depending on what the church does, he said from that 2025 onwards, you know, into 2028, which will be the third day from resurrection, we're going to start seeing the visible glory. We haven't seen it all these years, though. Occasionally. God in his sovereignty will just do it and then we don't see it again for 20 years. But now, it's going to be people. Oh, I got the kosheka para to friend the klomo sefres. Everybody, turn with me your Bible to Isaiah 4. Isaiah chapter 4. I just got a tweet from heaven. Isaiah, this is what I mean when I say you teach him prophetically. Isaiah 4. This one is not in my notes. Isaiah 4, look at verse 5. This is prophetic, Pastor G, honey. It's prophetic. He said, and the Lord will create. It means he hasn't done it yet. It's future. He will create. It's, in other words, it's something that's going to happen. It has not yet happened. And I'm going to prove it to you. You know, this is an Old Testament scripture. This is Isaiah. Read these words. Everybody say, the Lord will create upon a few every dwelling place of Mount Zion and upon her assemblies a cloud and smoke by day. Everybody say visible glory. And the shining of a flaming fire by night. For upon all the glory shall be a defense. Everybody say visible glory. Now observe his future. So the Lord will create. Then, you know what blew my mind? Look at this scripture. It's Old Testament. How did Isaiah know that there is a difference between the dwelling place and the assemblies? There was no Zion church. Zion was just the hill in Jerusalem. He speaks prophetically, looking into the future on the glorious and the perfect church. Then he says, you know what God's going to do? Upon individuals, every dwelling place of Mount Zion. Then upon the corporate bodies and upon her assembly. They're not the same. We're drinking in the glory. Talk to me, man. Oh, I'm excited. I'm going to stay around. 2025, 2028, 2032, 2046. We're going to be here. By the grace and the mercy of God. I'm not missing this party. It's right in front of us. And I've given you like a kind of timeline. Now, glory be to God. How? I'm going to start today. I don't think I can finish this afternoon. Because I don't want to keep us waiting too long. But you know, this is a thing that should be exciting you. Not the beans and, you know. In fact, we are fasting now. So we can continue the message now. So we are fasting. Nobody's going home to eat. Everybody's fine. If you are still on my side. And if you agree, clap offering to the Lord. Why is God telling us about Zoe, dunamis, and glory to motivate us to prepare for them? In Romans chapter 8, verse 18, the scripture says that the sufferings on this present time, they are not worthy to be compared to the glory that's going to be revealed in us. I'm looking at the glory in front. So fasting, prayer, getting up early in the morning, good morning, Jesus. There are a small price to pay to get the glory. And I will pay it. That's the purpose. Now, how? Let me share with you. Self-denial to give more time. Then in bracket, I put see more room for Jesus. I may remember the Christmas message. There is no Christian that has not made room for Jesus, or else you won't be a Christian. Every Christian has room for Jesus. But most of us, we put him in the garage downstairs with the animals. To make more room for Jesus, you have to give him more time. The currency for more room is more time. That's why I referenced how Jesus lived. I now understand better. I wonder why he get up early in the morning. I just got another tweet, prof. Do you know every Jewish child back in those days, and up till today, they were taught the scriptures. See, not everybody could afford a Bible. It's not like today where you have, you know, you have it on iPhone, you have it on iPad. It wasn't like that. You understand? So why, when they were growing up, they will go to the synagogue every Saturday. Sometimes twice a week, they have, you know, days where they'll go and they will recite the scriptures. Then they will say it and say it. So they knew the scriptures by heart. In fact, that's why when Jesus was teaching, you say, is it not written? Have you not read? Because particularly in Galilee, the people were spiritually educated. They knew. That's why Peter and James were just fishermen. They didn't have formal education. They didn't go to university. They're not like Paul, who went to school. But they knew their Bible. Because every Jewish child was taught the scriptures, including Jesus. So Jesus knew the scriptures. He had them inside him. So he would go to a lonely place, you know, alone. Then he would start praying. And drawing life. You know, drawing life is not Pastor Olubi's doctrine. I don't know how many people know that. Isaiah 12, quickly. Isaiah chapter 12. Look at verse 3. I think it is. It's verse 3. Thank you. Therefore, with joy, shall you do what? Draw water out of the wells of salvation. This is where we get drawing life from. It's not our, we didn't invent it. So draw. That's what Jesus was doing. These are messianic scriptures. He would draw. Then he would pray. The Bible says, with strong crying and tears. Then he would pray unto him that was able to save him from death and was hurt that he feared. So, we are to copy the same example. You know, so we give more time for life scriptures, power scriptures, the fruit of the Spirit, praying in tongues that converts Zoe to dunamis and ultimately to glory. Now, put this thing on the screen. The animation. Just the two of them as I close. Yes. This is an updated animation, you know, of these life scriptures. All these things are things we know before. But just hold it there for a minute. move it a little bit so that we can zero in on the fine details. Yes. Now stop there for a minute. I want to quickly point out to you. I say, Pastor, where did you get all this from? Revelation. I didn't have a vision. Revelation is light in my mind. Then I now tell the Brother Nee and others and Laolu and all what to draw. It's light. Inside your innermost being, you have two sections. You have the inner core, which stores Zoe and distributes Zoe, just like your heart pumps blood. Your innermost being, your spirit, that's why it's here, it's out of his belly. It pumps Zoe and life. Then it has an outer core. The outer core is where power, that's why we have the orange there, you know, the life is now converted to power. The power represents fire, you know, red, you know, that represents the power. So the inner core has a storage place, it has a distribution place. It comes into the inner core, then it flows out. Look at these arrows here. The thing flows into the rest of the spirit man. Your spirit man is like a reservoir. That's exactly what it is. It's a reservoir that contains, that is filled with the life of God. So you can have the life of God in greater and greater measures inside your inner man. It comes from the inner core. Then it goes, you know, and goes to the rest of your spirit. And that's why it is stored there. And we're going to see the functionality in a minute. Then you got the outer core where it's converted to power. And then that outer core is directly connected to the soul, even though there are perforations there, so that life can keep flowing from the spirit into this tube, so to speak, that goes to the soul, and once it enters there, it mixes with the power, and then it goes up. Because you see, your soul, which is your mind, your will, your mind, or your emotions, that's where this power of godliness goes. That's where the love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, self-control, patience, that's where they go. So it comes from the spirit, you know, with power, you know, to control your mind, to enlighten your understanding, to control your emotions. And watch this. We just added this. This came between me and Brother Nee. You know, I was discussing this. I was telling what I was seeing. So he said, Pastor, let's do it this way. And I said, let's give Brother Nee Yomikule a super clap offering. Hey, Brother Nee, you know, this great job he did here. Look at this. And it is accurate scripture. The light, the power of God, the life and power of God comes from your innermost being. It comes up. We're going to see this when we look at the soul animation in a minute. And it enters the soul, the will, through the will, the mind, the emotions. It is from that abundance. You see the connection that goes to your mouth. For of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. If you don't have sufficient life flowing into your soul and into your mind, your words will not contain much power. Hence, Jesus said, the words I speak, they are what? Spirit and they are life. That's why Jesus would say to the leper, I will, and he get healed. You say, I will, nothing happens. It's not because God loves you any less. You just don't have sufficient. That's why you need to grow. What do you grow in? Two levels.
Capacity.
The amount. Then strength, power, the force with which it comes. So when you speak, you know those demons. Jesus just got out of the boat. Just got out of the boat in Gadara. Instead of those two, the madman of Gadara, you know, these demons started screaming immediately. They said, "Oh, Jesus, thou Son of God, have you come to torment us before the time?" There was an effulgence. We will get there. Oh, there was a power that was emanating from him that immediately those spirits could sense it. And they knew who he was. Remember? Paul, I know. Jesus, I know. Who are you? They will know you in the spirit. Roll the movie. Go. Quick. Roll the movie. Thank you for this innovation, putting the scriptures at the side without having to take away the middle picture. I told you to do that on Wednesday, and you've done it. Let's give them a clap offering up there. I've done a lot of work went into that. So, you know, this is sin. The sin substance, you know, comes from the soul and it blocks this connection. Quick, just roll it. We're used to all of this, you know, or should be, you know. Then you confess your sin, you know. Ask for mercy, the cleansing of the blood of Jesus. Watch this. Then the blood comes from the head, the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you. Right. So the blood removes the block. Then the life flow is restored. Stop the movie for a minute. That block can be partial or it can be total. Most people live with a partial block, because they are not totally honest about all their sins. So some of it is cleansed, some of it remains. So even though the guy is doing live scripture and he's, you know, making noise and all of that, the amount is just like drops. It's not flowing properly. That's why you have to change your attitude. That's why you have to be totally honest. That's why Jesus said, "Learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart." Because see, if the flow of the life of God can and is hindered by sin. I'll tell you something else, honey. You know, God said I should say this. He said it when I was preparing and I was praying for this message. He said, "You've taught them." He said, "But people haven't yet got it." There is a difference between sins and sin. Sins are the acts, the things you do. Sin is a substance that is inside you that makes you do those things. Now watch this. The blood of Jesus takes care of the effect of sins, but it is the life of God and the power of the Holy Spirit that cleanses and removes sin. You can't use the blood for that. The blood removes the effect of the act of sin that blocks the flow of the life of God. But it is when you pray in tongues and groaning and travail that the life of God that is on the inside through the intercession and the groaning that goes up, and then it removes it. We use the word cleanse. Let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and the spirit. Hebrews chapter 10 verse 22. It says, having our bodies washed with pure water. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 26. That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. No shortcut. I'll tell you something else. Majority of Christians, even people in this house, only deal with sins. They don't deal with sin. So when they do something by, "Oh God, I'm sorry, I will never do that again. You know, please forgive me," and all, which is good. You know, then the blood cleanses them. But the substance that is causing it, because they don't pray effectually and fervently with groaning and travail, you know, in on a consistent basis, they are not removing the sin substance. So the thing keeps repeating itself. We call it besetting sin. You've got to not only deal with the effect of sin as an act, you must also deal with the root of sin as a substance. That's why God gave you the life of God and the power of the Holy Spirit. I don't know if that resonated with anybody. Only my wife clapped for me. Honey, thank God you came to church. Are you listening to me? Okay, now give her the soul animation and then we close. This is the life animation, you know, showing the whole system. Now we want to focus now on the soul. Quickly, the soul animation. Thank you. All right, now stop. Again, you see this anatomy here. You know, again, it's the same thing as the other one. But here, you know, it's exactly the same. Then you see this connection. See, it's connected to this tube is connected to the outer core. It's from this outer core power flows. Then it goes into the soul, the will, the mind, and the emotions. And it is the overflow of the life that goes into the mind that now comes through the mouth. Of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Watch this, Pastor G. Can you see that if the life of God is not there in sufficient measure, what he's going to talk is rubbish? Scripture. It is not what enters a man that defiles the man. He said it is what comes out of him. For out of the mouth comes evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, pride, blasphemy. He said, these are the things that defile the man. It's not what is coming out, you know, it's not what he's eating. It's what is inside his soul. Roll the movie. Am I helping anybody here? I maybe want the glory. This is how to get it. Roll the movie. So the life of God begins to flow. We've done all that, you know. Then it flows. Oh yeah, roll it, roll it, roll it, roll it. This is the conscience, the witness of the Spirit. The life of God is flowing from the innermost being, from the inner core, the outer core. It's flowing. It gets pumped, starts getting pumped, converted to power. It starts, you know, filling the Spirit. Your spirit is a tank. Then it goes through this connection from the outer core to the soul. Then it reaches the door of the will. The will here, stop for a minute, just for a second, can either be open, closed, or partially open. In most of us, it's partially open. There are things we're willing to do, there are things we're not willing to do. Go and gather yourself for me, oh. Brother Luby, what sort you want, oh? I'm going to translate. In our language, that means, there's nothing they can go to tell me. That's what Pastor Luby is saying. That's his own. This is what I believe. It gets into trouble. Attitude will determine your altitude. Right choices, right attitude. The thing will either open or it will be. Most of us, we're not totally stubborn, but we are stubborn. So it's like this. Life is entering, but it's not entering sufficiently. So you still have a lot of those dots. Those black dots there, which is the sin nature in the soul. So the understanding is still darkened. So when you are preaching like this, they're just looking at you. They can't comprehend what you're saying. The Bible says, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because that scripture is compulsory reading. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 and 18. Of the hardness or stubbornness of their heart. You want more life, light in your mind? Remove the stubbornness. Meekness and lowliness of heart. With the lowly is wisdom. This is the functionality of how this thing operates. Roll it. So, if you are willing, willingness causes you to know. Jesus said, if a man is willing to do it, he will know. So the life, when it's totally open, the life and the power of God now go, stop. All those black, stop for a minute. All the black things are gone. The mind is clear. Clear. The emotions under control. Roll the movie. I've got to close. When he now speaks, he's going to be speaking. His words are going to be what? Spirit and life. It will heal the sick. It will cleanse the leper. It will raise the dead. It will cast out devil. The understanding will be so enlightened. He will have a wisdom greater than the wisdom of Solomon. Bible says, and God gave Solomon with all his nonsense. How much more you and I? Stand to your feet. Let's close. Oh, glory to God. I don't know if I've helped anybody. But like Papa Hagen would say, I preach me happy. Amen. Oh, I got so many songs there. But there's one particular one I love. We sung it recently, but I like it. We see your glory. We see your glory. We see your glory now manifest. We see your glory. We see your glory.
We see your glory now manifest.
Oh, sing it. Lord of light. What a word.
Lord of light.
Holiness.
Holiness and truth.
Power.
Power and might.
We see your glory.
We see.
Of light,
Lord of light,
holiness,
holiness and truth,
power,
power and might,
we see your glory,
we see it now manifest.
We see your glory again from the beginning.
We see your glory.
Because I'm going to see his glory. I'm going to let it radiate from me. Then, like, you know, there'll be no place for argument. All contention will cease. We're not dealing with religion. We're dealing with reality. Just like it is natural. If the voltage gets to a particular level, the light will go on. It will come on. You now understand why Jesus prayed the way he prayed. He would go early in the morning, go and pray. What's he doing? Life, dunamis, and glory. Then he would come down. He would heal the sick. He would raise the dead. He would feed the 5,000. And he did it daily. Someone said, Pastor, how do you know? The Bible says if everything Jesus did, he said, if it was written, he said, the world cannot contain the books. It had to be daily. John wrote, he said, if all the things the man did was written, because John was an eyewitness. He didn't leave him alone. He was with him day and night throughout those 3 years. They saw things that marveled. They go, You know what I said? They said, what manner of man is this? Watch this. Let me blow your mind. Oh, glory to God. Oh, I'm so excited. Am I sleeping? You know why? You get up early in the morning. So he will rest during the day. He never broke the law of rest. Another message for another day. So he was resting, slept. So while he was sleeping, the devil brought all the storm and the wind and everything. You know? So they go, Lord, Master. You know, just like us. Don't blame those guys. They're just like us. Care us not now that we perish. Is a person who is living in the glory. Calm. He said, why are you troubled? Should have stopped it yourselves. Yeah. Because he's giving them borrowed anointing. The Bible says, and he said, peace, be still. Instant. Zoe. Dunamis. Glory. The Bible says, and there was a great calm. From sleep. You know why? You know why? The tank was full. The tank was full. There was no need for any emergency groaning and casting out the devil and all the gymnastics we do. Is when you don't know where you feel the thing in the morning. You use it during the day. When you see the thing is going there every 6 hours, then you sleep at night. When you sleep at night, God uses his power for everything. You get up in the morning, you repeat the cycle. It's every day. Who in the days of his flesh offered up prayer and supplication? He wasn't trying something, he knew what he was doing. He was not walking in darkness and ignorance. There was one time, to show you what I'm saying, there was one blind man they brought to him. He laid his hands on him. He said, what do you see? He said, it's blood. I see men as trees walking. Second dose. We're dealing with power, folks. Immediately, he saw every man clearly. Jesus knows what he was doing. You? Let us pray. Say, Lord, have mercy on us. So receive your blood to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Your life and your power in sufficient measure as we pray now. Father, I thank you for your word. Thank you for showing us how you do things. The reality of the life of God. Thank you for making it available to us. In any measure, we are prepared to draw it. You said that you've given us exceeding great and precious promises. That by these, we might be partakers of the divine nature. That you have called us to glory and virtue. Oh God, have mercy on me. Help me to draw life in sufficient measure every day. And then to speak your word.
to pray in the Spirit and convert life to power. Power of godliness. Power of healing and health. Power of protection. Power to get wealth. For you have said, you wish above all things that I prosper and be in health, even as my soul prospers. Thank you. Thank you. You're a good father. The Bible says it is your good pleasure to give us the kingdom. Thank you. Lord, I will take advantage. I will not neglect what Jesus suffered to pay for me to get. The life of God, the power of God, and the glory of God. In Jesus' name. Nika shala prakatolomos. Ripreto fredesk. Father, thank you. Zala prakatolomosha. Lord Jesus, aprikatolomotolomongara. Lord Holy Ghost, aprikatolomotolomoshtofre. Thank you for your blood, laprikatofrikatolomotolom. Your life, shalike kukufredesk. Your power, nikatolomotofredeka. Lambra, in and upon our wills, laprikatolomotofres. Our minds, laprikatolomoshtofres. Our emotions, lipukatolomoshtofres. Our bodies, laprikatolomotofres. Our physical circumstances, ritolomotolomotofredeka. Our regional heavenlies, ritolomotofre. Lembra shalika ni pratala masho insufficient measure renengra dala matofre rukogogo lembra nashalehi nekato lembra katulo bishukogo matulo remo shuka. In Jesus' name, amen. If you're watching or you're home, you need healing. Just stretch forth your hand. There's power in the air. It's there. It's like microwave of the mobile phone. It's there. Download it. So raise the hand. Father, we release that healing power into the bodies of those whose hands are stretched forth now. In Jesus' name. To effect a healing and a cure. In the name of Jesus. And like I told us last week, you know, each time you get a dose, use medical science as we're still getting up to this glory. And then you get better and better and better. He doesn't like his children. He says the healing is the children's bread. The church has not been rightly taught. Like I said also last week, get rid of sickness. I didn't say sins, I said sin. When the church dominates sin, not sins, the nature, and we get it out of our system completely, sickness will not be able to enter our bodies. It will come, but it will be dissolved at entry point. All this is ahead of us in the third day from the maturity and the resurrection of Christ. Oh man, we're going to see dandy things. Eye has not seen. Oh, ear has not heard. Neither has it entered into the hearts of men. These great things that God has prepared for them that love Him. Not them that are born again. Them that love Him. That keep His commandments. The commandment of life and the commandment of love. Mommy, come. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you. The Lord lifts up the ladder of His countenance upon you. The Lord God gives you peace. God makes you head and not tail. Head and not tail. Head and not tail. Above only and not beneath. Everything you set your hand to is successful. You're at least 10 times better than your peers. You possess the gates of your enemies, even the gate of death. So you will live. You will not die. You will live and declare the glory of God in the land of the living. With long life, will God satisfy you and show you His salvation, even the perfection of fullness of Christ. So Lord, impart on you the anointing of Enoch, of Abraham, of Joseph, of Moses, of Joshua, of Ruth, of David, of Elisha, of Daniel, of Esther, of Paul, and of John. In Jesus' name, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the sweet fellowship of the blessed Holy Spirit rest and abide with us now and forevermore. In Jesus' name. Turn to him and say, you walk in Zoe, dunamis, and glory. In Jesus' name.